Hello, this is Rabbi Eric Levy. I'm pleased to bring to you the second Aliyah of the Sidra of Tzav in the book of Vayikra. The second Aliyah continues with two different minachot, or grain offerings. The first is called the Mincha Chavitim, which is given every day, twice a day, by the high priest. The second is the Mincha given by any priest upon his inauguration into priestly service. Vayidabera Adonai el Moshe Limor, ze korban Aharon uvanav, asher yakribu l'Adonai biyom himashach oto, asirit ha'ifa, solat mincha tamid, machatzita baboker umachatzita ba'erev. Al machavat bashemen te'aseh, murbeket tiviena, tufine minchat pitim, takriv reach nichoach l'Adonai. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, this is the sacrifice assigned to Aaron and his sons. We'll see later why it says Aaron and his sons, if it's really for just the high priest, that they will offer to the Lord on the day of his, i.e. singular, the high priest being anointed. 1/10 of an ephah of fine flour, a permanent, i.e. a daily grain offering, half of it in the morning and half of it in the evening. 1/10 of an ephah is also known as an omer, a little more than 3.5 liters of flour, enough to satisfy one person for one full day of food. For instance, the manna that came down from heaven, to feed the Israelites, was in the desert, was essentially a one omer per day, or 1/10 of an ephah. Getting back to the text, it shall be made in a machavat, hence the name a chavitin offering, with oil. A machavat is a fairly shallow pan where the flour could be cooked up, and the result was a hard type of not a bread, of course, because it was unleavened, but a hard type of bread substance, kind of like a cracker or a wafer. It shall be brought morkevet, which according to the Masorah means blanched with hot water before the rest of the baking takes place. Tufine minchat pitim, according to Rashi, means that it should be offered after the blanching by baking it hard and then frying it into smaller fragments. Those pieces were to be offered up as a pleasing smell to God. In the last Aliyah, I explained the importance of creating this anthropomorphistic idea of God's receiving these offerings by taking a deep breath and enjoying their smells, essentially so that God could, that people could relate to the gift being received by God. But surely, of course, it is a metaphor. V'akohen ha-mashiach tachtav mi-banav yaseu ta'achok olam la'adonai kalil toktar. And the priest from one of his sons who would be anointed, that is, he would become the next high priest replacing the previous one, will do this, all of this as well, this minchat chavitim, as an eternal law, set to smoke as a completely burned sacrifice to the Lord, which means all of the pieces of this bread offer, of this grain offering, all of the resulting matzah pieces would be completely burnt up. The rabbis, getting back to that issue I mentioned before about why it says Aaron and his sons, so the rabbis learn out from the first verse, which says Aaron and his sons, that even though prima facie this law only applies to the high priest, but every son of Aaron, i.e. every priest, must do a similar sacrifice upon the day that he gets inaugurated into service, although that's just once in his lifetime, unless he becomes the high priest. The high priest, however, must do this chavitim twice a day, every day. Or actually once a day, with half of it done in the morning and half of it done in the evening. The Torah then goes on to explain, b'chol minchat Kohen Chalil Tiyeh Lo Teyachel. Any grain offering, any mincha sacrifice, mincha offering, given by a priest, that is not given by the people through the service of a priest, but given by a priest himself, such as these two, must be completely burned, not eaten. The word Chalil means completely, and the sense is completely burnt. As opposed to when a Kohen does the service for a non-Kohen, and then he's allowed to essentially eat the leftovers, except for the small amount that is the komtza, the handful that's thrown onto the altar. The logic seems to be, and of course this is just a speculation, that if the Kohen was allowed to essentially give a sacrifice himself and he would himself get the gift, so essentially he's just eating his own food and that's not much of an offering. Next up, we have the mechanics of the chatat, or the sin offering. Keep in mind that some of the details have already been supplied in the previous sidra, in Sidrat Vayikra. The details supplied here are as follows: the location of the slaughtering, the location for eating the chatat, because we'll see the Kohen eats it, the status of things that come into food that comes into contact with the meat of the chatat, and who may eat it, and which kinds of chatat sacrifices may in fact not be eaten. Vayidaber Adonai al Moshe lemor, daber al Aharon v'al banav lemor, zot Torat ha-chatat bimkom asher tishachet ha-ola, tishachet ha-chatat lifnei Adonai kodesh kodeshim hi. And the Lord spoke to Moses saying, speak to Aaron and his sons saying, this is the Torah, the mechanism, if you will, the rules of bringing a chatat. In the place that you slaughter the Ola, that's where you should slaughter the chatat, which is before the Lord. All of this because it is most holy, it is Kodesh Kodeshim, so you have to treat it the same way. That location, which we discovered in chapter 1, verse 11, for the Ola was v'shachat oto al yerech ha-mizbeach tzafon al-lefnei Hashem, that is on the northern, to the north of the altar, and that's the way it would be done for a chatat as well. The next rule, ha-kohen ha-machate ota yochalena bimakom kadosh teachel ba-chatzar oel mo'ed. The priest that does the chatat offering will eat it in a holy place, i.e. in the courtyard of the meeting tent, which is, of course, the Mishkan. Of course, the kohen couldn't eat the whole thing, whether it was a goat or a sheep. I mean, nobody could eat a whole goat or a sheep, except for even with the parts that were a small amount that was burnt on the altar. So according to the sages, this really means not just what it means is not only that Kohen, but any Kohen currently in a pure or tahor state, as opposed to the Kohenim who were not in a pure state and therefore cannot eat this holy meat, this Kodesh Kodeshim meat. Kol asher yiga bivsara yikdash, v'asher yizeh midama ala beged, asher yizeh aleha techabes bimakom kadosh. Anything that comes into contact with the flesh, i.e. of the flesh of the chatat meat, the meat of the chatat, becomes holy just like the offering, and therefore that thing which came into contact with it can only be eaten by a kohen in the courtyard. Next, if blood splatters on the clothes, that is, at the clothes of the Israelite bringing the offering, you must wash it in the holy place, that is, again, in the courtyard. Interestingly, it's only the splatter of the chatat offering that is essentially treated like the offering of the self itself, in the fact that it may not leave the courtyard. So if it gets in the clothes have to be washed. They can't walk out, so to speak, of the courtyard before the blood, which is considered part of the sacrifice, is washed clean. And now to the pots which touch the meat after during the cooking process. V'uchli cheres asher tivushal bo yishaver ve'im b'chli nechoshet bushala u'morak v'shutaf b'mayim. And if it, the meat, i.e., is cooked, now remember, of course, the Kohanim get to eat many types of chatot offering. So if it is cooked in an earthenware pot, that pot must be broken. But if it is in a copper pot, which really means not just copper, but any kind of metal, it can be hot and then cold, washed with water. That is, the taste of the meat, which is holy, and cannot be used for any other kind of cooking, cannot be mixed with standard food, that taste is absorbed into the pot. Now, until the pot is washed clean, it cannot be used for anything else. Now, that works with metal. With earthenware, there's no way to get the taste out of the pottery, essentially. So therefore, it must be shattered, never to be used again. Kol zachar b'kohanim yochal ota kodesh kadashim hi. Any male kohen can eat it, assuming that it's in fact the type of chatat that can be eaten, as opposed to the ones which cannot be eaten. Meaning, of course, that only male kohanim could eat it, not female kohanim, not daughters of priests, because it is most holy kodesh kadashim. V'chol chatat asher yuva midama el ol moed l'chaper b'kodesh. But any chatat where the blood is brought inside the meeting tent, into the Mishkan, to cleanse with it, which means to use the blood, the sprinkle of the blood, to atone for whatever it is that chatat was atoning for, that sprinkling was done inside the Mishkan, in the Holy, or even the Holy of Holies. This kind of food may not, the chatat of this kind of sacrifice may not be eaten. It must be burnt with fire. Rashi understands this differently, but the translation that I stated goes along with the Rashbam, and it includes the kind of chataot that it's talking about, these chataot pnim, the ones where the blood is sprinkled on the inside. It includes the sacrifice brought by when a community-wide error is made, which causes mass, albeit accidental sin. It includes the animals of the Yom Kippur service. It includes the goats brought for errors in idol worship. So all of these have their blood sprinkled in the Holy, or in the Holy of Holies, in the Kodesh Kodesh Kodeshim, and therefore the animals are not to be eaten. They are to be burned completely. Next comes Zotorot Hashem, Torah Hashem, Kodesh Kodeshim. Who? This is the Torah, the instructions of the Hashem, the guilt offering, which is a most holy sacrifice. The actions which lead to the requirement of an Hashem, a guilt offering, are detailed in chapter 5, verse 14 to 26, and include improper use of sanctified items called Me'ilah, also includes where one swears falsely regarding an object that he has either stolen or claimed that was stolen from him instead of giving it back. So what we get first is the rule regarding the location. Bimkom asher yishchatu et ha'ula, yishchatu et ha'sham, v'etamo yizrok alam zbeach saviv. So just like we saw by the chatat, in the location where one slaughters an ola, that's where one must slaughter the Hashem, which of course is to the north of the altar, and its blood will be sprinkled around the altar. And now we talk about the parts of the Hashem to burn, meaning everything else is eaten by the Kohanim. V'et kol chelbo yakriv mimenu et aliyah v'et achelev v'et hamachaseh et Kerev, v'etshtei ha'klayot, v'etachilav asher aleihem, asher al ha'ksalim, v'etayoteret al ha'kaved, al ha'klayot, yisirena, v'ektirot ha'makwem, ha'mezbecha, yishel adunai, asham hu. And all of its fats, chilev is a specific type of fat, it's the yellowish, tallowy fat, I think it's called suet, S-U-E-T, although it's a French word, I'm probably pronouncing it wrong, but it's that kind of tallowy, yellowy fat that covers large. It's like a grainy substance, and it covers large portions of the internal organs. And the aliyah, which is the fatty tail of a sheep. The aliyah is singled out here because all ashams are made out of sheep, either male or female, and sheep alone have this fatty, fatty tail, as opposed to goats and cows, which needs to be burnt on the altar. And the fats that cover the intestines, and the two kidneys, and the fat that is on them, which is on the loins, which means as it goes down towards the loin area, and the lobe of the liver, which is like the extra part of the liver that kind of sticks out by itself, over the kidneys, or perhaps with the kidneys, he will remove. So all of these internal organs, plus the fats, or these internal areas, they have to be burnt up on the altar, and the Kohen will set them to smoking. Laktir means really to set them to smoking, or burn them, of course, on the altar, a fire-based sacrifice to the Lord. That is the guilt offering. And now we get to the rules of who is allowed to eat it. Kol zachar b'kohanim yochalenu b'makom kadosh yeachel kodesh kodeshim. He, all male priests can eat it, i.e. the leftovers, whatever hasn't been burnt up. It shall be eaten in a holy place. It is most holy kodesh kadashim. Regarding the eating rules, who and where, the Torah reaffirms kachatat ka'asham Torah echat lahem hakohen asher yichaper bo lo yiyah. The chatat and the asham are equivalent. They have one set of rules that belongs to the Kohen that did the atonement using them. As far as the burnt offering, the Ola, we find out as follows, Va'kohen ha'makrivet Olat ish, or ha'Ola asher ikriv la'Kohen lo yiyah. Now, the Kohen doesn't eat any of the Ola, obviously, because the Ola is completely burnt, but he does get the skin. The Kohen who brings the Ola of a person, the skin of that Ola belongs to the Kohen who brought it. And as far as now the mincha or the grain offering, the question is, who gets that? V'chol v'chol mincha asher te'afeh batanur v'chol na'asa b'mar cheshet v'al machavat la'kohen ha'makrivot alota. Yeah, and every mincha that is either baked in an oven or made up in a deep pan, which is called a marcheshet, which produces a kind of a soft matzah, soft unleavened bread, or a shallow pan, that's the machava, which produces these hard petitim, these hard crackers or wafers or whatever you want to call them. It belongs to the Kohen who did the offering. And this, of course, whenever it says it belongs to the Kohen, it also talks about the Beit Av of that Kohen, which is serving at that time in the altar. The one Kohen can't eat all the stuff by himself, so the rest of the people on his watch, on his service, his family gets to eat from it as well. But all the grain offerings that are mixed with oil or served dry belong to every son of Aaron, which means not just the ones that are currently serving the temple, but anybody could eat them. It says specifically each man as his brother, which means equally every Kohen. Examples of these are voluntary offerings, which are mixed with oil. And for the dry ones, the sota offering is an example of of grain, which is brought without oil, which is brought dry, or what's called here charifa. In the next aliyah, the Torah moves on to shlamim, peace, or which I translate as peace offerings, or complete offerings, or well-being offerings. In most of these cases, they are koche kalim, or less holy offerings, and they're usually voluntarily brought, whether as nedarim or nedavot, we'll see another type as well. And essentially, it's where a person either says, you know, I'm going to sacrifice this animal because I want to, or I am going to sacrifice some animal, and we'll see one other case of shlamim in the next aliyah.